This is E-Complete. Something real, something funny, something serious, and something true.
Welcome to Ray and Kay Today. It's Monday.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. It's a little bit of a somber Monday. We just had an event at the Boston Marathon, still getting the details and facts and collecting all the information, but something happened up there in Boston, some kind of a couple of explosions, maybe three. We had some casualties. We had some folks injured. So hopefully that's it. And it's just a matter of finding out what happened and recovering from this. But, our hearts and prayers go out to everybody up there in Boston and everybody that visited, participated in the race.
Yeah, the whole world, right? I mean, it's an international event, the Boston Marathon, you know, of the best runners. You have to be a qualified and very good distance runner to run in the Boston Marathon. It's not like the New York Marathon. And, it's, people from all over the world participating. So this is it's heavy, man, and Ray and Faye, our prayers and hearts go out to, like you said, the ones who lost their lives, their families, loved ones, and, over 100, the Boston Globe reported injured. So, yeah, the show must go on, right, Ray?
Yeah, and let's hope we'll take people's minds off of this. So we'll get into the rest of the stuff that's going on in the sports world. So, without further ado, this is Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. And if you'd like to join us, share, just have some fun for a second or whatever it is, give us a call, 718-664-9098. As always, you can email us at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out our website at rayandtaytoday.com, and you could tweet at us also at RAEANDTAY today at Twitter. So, and like us on Facebook with the same name. But, we'll definitely get into it, and a lot to talk about. And, Ray, break it down, man.
Well, we do have a lot to talk about. We'll talk about this Boston Marathon real quick. It is the breaking of breaking news. Right, that's real life. The rest of the sports stuff is just fun and entertainment. But we'll talk a little bit about it. Obviously, there's a lot more information that will come in the next few days. But we'll go over it a little bit, give you our thoughts and opinions. Then we'll take you around the sporting world for the rest of the breaking news. So we've got Yale winning in college hockey. We've got some NBA draft. Some NFL draft news. We've got the WNBA draft tonight. We've got some developments just around the sporting world that we'll bring you. Then we'll talk a little bit about the Masters. What an ending last night. Wow, if you missed it, the ultimate in competition. And it's funny because, you don't have to be a golf fan per se to really appreciate, one-on-one competition and just the pressure that these guys are under. And how, frankly, they both delivered, Angel Cabrera and the ultimate winner, Adam Scott. So we'll talk about that. We'll get into the NBA. We've got most teams have two games now left in the season, one or two, and the playoffs are right around the corner, so we'll get into that. And then we'll end the show with our segment, Champs and Chumps, where Ray and Tay go through literally the champs and chumps of the weekend. So we'll pick out a team or a person who did great work, yeoman's work, as we like to say, over the weekend. And the opposite side of that coin, too, a team or a player that, either fell asleep or didn't show up or underachieved over the weekend. So they would be the chump.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, let's talk about this first, the breaking news in Boston Marathon. And, for people who don't have a clue about it, I mean, this is Patriots Day. The Red Sox play early. They won today 3-2 over the Tampa Bay Rays. it's a huge day. A lot of people off of work. You know, I mean, I definitely know the city of Boston pretty well. Spent time up there and been up there. Have a lot of friends up there. You know, I know a lot of, you know, people from Martha's Vineyard that live in Boston and just, you know, whatever, and just other people that I know. And this is a big holiday. It's a big sporting event. And in terms of for marathons, it's a very serious, you know, competition and marathon. You know, we've got huge marathon runners who, you know, participate in this. And, you know, just for people to get a little bit of a feel of it. And it's a tragedy. It's very sad. And like you said, we don't know that much yet. It's, you know, they're still gathering information. Looks like at the JFK Library that it was, you know, not a bomb, just a fire. So that's encouraging. And, you know, they're still trying to find out, you know, what's going on. The numbers will jump. And unfortunately, that's just how this goes, you know, 2 confirmed dead and up to 100 injuries. So, you know, who knows? I did see the video. I don't know if you saw the video on CNN, the live footage. It was so loud, and the explosives and the bomb. I mean, that's heavy.
Yeah, and then it happened at the finish line where everybody congregates. And worst thing also is that the runners just finished 26 miles of running. You know what I mean? And they're in harm's way. They're exhausted. Yeah. They're running on fumes, and they're thinking, oh, my God, what's happening? They must be totally startled, and they're just, you know, fight or flight, you know, instinct just takes over, and they're just getting out of harm's way as fast as they can. And think about the chaos that was up there, and think about how this might affect, you know, sporting events and especially running events, like road runners, because it's one thing to come into an arena and then have, you know, I remember going to the Yankee game. We had Bob Brenly on the line, and I told him, I said, I was at those Yankee games, you know, the World Series games in 2001, and you can control people coming in and out of a stadium, but
yeah, and Super Bowl
New York Marathon,
big events, yeah.
Boston Marathon, where people line the streets, and it's open.
And everybody has a book bag.
Yeah, and it's cold, you know. So people have a jacket and a book bag, and so, you know, that is always going to be difficult dilemma for security. How do you secure 26 miles of road?
Unfortunately, you cannot. You just can't. You really can't. And you don't know if this will change some of these events, right? I mean, look, you don't ever want to change your way of life and living and give in to, you know, whoever, you know, terrorizes these people in this event. You don't want to do that. But, you know, as an individual, it does make you decide for yourself and, you know, cautious, you and your family, do I want to be at a big event, you know, where they're running and stuff like that. You got to ponder it, you know what I mean? Hey, let's just send out our positive, man, because talking about it, because this is the thing, right? This is American news and everything about it right now in the media. It will be spoken about, and it should be, right, reporting, but they will exhaust it to nausea, like, I mean, forever, like for the next 48 to 72 hours. And whether it's us or anything, like, you need a break. You have to get a break, because you know what? It will wear you out, you know, and it's whatever the tragedy is. It gets to be too much, and then it can cripple people emotionally. You know what I mean? It really can. And I hate for our society to focus so much on tragedy and negative that that you stop living. You know, we all have to live, and we have to be resilient, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, our hearts and thoughts go out to anybody affected from all over the world in Boston, and just prayers go out from Ray and Tay.
Yeah,
and you
definitely.
Know, we'll try and bring you a show based on the rest of what's going on in the sports world. So provide some entertainment, some relief. So let's get into that.
I was going to say, sticking in, you know, with Boston, and we said the Red Sox won 3-2, but Wrigley Field is going to get a little facelift a $500 million
facelift. I was about
facelift.
To say, that's a little facelift. That's a big facelift. That's an overhaul.
That's quite a facelift, Ray.
To build a new stadium for that money.
I was going to say to you, like, obviously, you know, we love, you know, Wrigley and Fenway Park. Goodness gracious, $500 million. I guess it's overdue, huh?
It's long overdue, and, you know, it's a dilemma because you want to keep these old ballparks, and it sort of breaks your heart that the Yankees moved out of Yankee Stadium, and then there's only really two original, you know, old-school 100-year-old ballparks or, you know, 80- to 100-year-old ballparks, and that's Fenway and Wrigley. And it wasn't until about, 15, 20 years ago that Wrigley Field had even night games. Right, so they didn't have lights.
In our lifetime, I remember when they did it, yeah.
Sure, and so, you know, you want this dilemma, and that's the good part about these, you know, private equity or these wealthy, you know, owners buying these franchises. So Ricketts family in Chicago and Henry and his crew buying the Red Sox is they put a lot of money into the stadium, and they make the fan experience better. Now, in exchange, I'm sure they're going to raise those ticket prices, and it might render it a little bit hard to reach, especially for people that, you know, are used to buying cheap seats at Boston or in Chicago. But, you know, I guess that's better than knocking it down and moving to a brand new stadium, especially those two, because those two really are unique baseball landmarks. And so, you know what, if they can keep most of the original Wrigley Field look and feel and update it, make it better, make it a better fan experience, I think that's great, and good luck to them. And, you know, I've been to Wrigley many times, and just the environment there is great. In Wrigley Field, outside of Wrigley Field, you know, on Waveland, on Sheffield, right there, and even all those, the Cubby Bear and all those houses that have a direct view from their roofs into Wrigley Field, great. It's awesome.
Oh, listen, stop it. You're hurting my feelings. I came to visit you in Shiela, but I didn't come at the time. And we saw a Bulls game, but I did not get to see the Cubs. I've never been to Wrigley Field. It's on the bucket list. I got to go. And I've never been to Fenway. So, you know, hey, maybe me and you will have to make a little rain time. I have to make an excursion, you know, a little summer trip, man. Because, you know what I want to do? And this is just one of those things that it's like, hey, we're on the air. So we're talking sports with friends. And let's just throw it out there. I want one summer, I think it'd be awesome to just go to every baseball stadium, just to go cross country, cross America, and go see, you know, just like, you know, just go see every stadium, catch a game, you know. That's something.
Cool.
It would be. It would be really awesome.
In 3-4 months, that would be pretty fun.
Yeah. So listen, let's talk about what, as you referred it to, America's new pastime. The NFL, and my Pittsburgh Steelers, thank goodness, they matched the offer sheet for Emmanuel Sanders from the Patriots. So, like you said, Big Ben gets to keep one of his main toys, our number two receiver. I'm pretty happy.
He needed to. They needed
to,
and the city of Pittsburgh couldn't afford to lose in the same offseason, you know, they're 1 and 3 receivers, so you couldn't afford to lose
Plus you lose Mendenhall.
Right, and Mendenhall, right. But I'm thinking specifically Sanders and Wallace. So it was a good move. I don't know if the Patriots were doing that strategically or they really were interested.
They knew receivers. They were interested. You know who they've signed? Michael, since they got rid of Lloyd and they lost Welker, all they've signed is Michael Jenkins and and Amendola. And one other guy who the guy that used to play for I can't remember now.
And even more important to sign somebody because Gronk looks like he might miss the beginning of the season with yet another surgery on his forearm. So poor guy, he can't stay healthy.
It's a mess. And then the Seahawks, they get the corner who's going to be the third corner, Antoine Winfield, veteran, right? I mean, can you imagine how great the Seahawks defense? They led the league and defensive, gave up the fewest amount of points this year. that defense, and you look at the Seahawks and Niners, they're going back and forth, tit for tat. Like, they're just signing, like, and it's great, great signings on offense and on defense. I mean, you know, look, we're going to really talk about some stuff as we, you know, we've got a guest coming up on Wednesday, but we get into this NFL draft on Wednesday. And, you know, free agent signings. And, you know, look, today is tax day, so I hope you guys paid your taxes. But it's also the opening of off-season workouts officially for teams who did not have a new head coach. Because, you know, the teams who had a new head coach, that was going on last week. Well, now it's for all the teams who, you know, have the same head coach and the same regime. I don't know. And obviously the Jets opened up. And what do you think about, you know, Revis and what they're going to do? They're putting the potential trade on hold. Do you think they pull the trigger? I know you think that they have to.
I think they have to. I think Revis at this point.
Is the 13th pick enough? Let me ask you that.
Well, again, and that's why they're pushing back this trade, just to get more data. And apparently Revis is ahead of schedule. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming back on the ACL now.
That's right, baby. He was out here in Arizona training.
Well, this is going to be our benchmark. Is it Adrian Peterson recovery, or is it Derrick Rose recovery?
But
you know,
no, it's a different. You can't. Well, you can.
But this is what I'm saying.
And it's a different position.
It's a different. No, I get it.
Quarterback is so different.
I get it, but what I'm saying is, it's a difference of: are you going to be able to be on the field week one? Are you going to only be able to be on the field week eight? Where are you?
Oh, no. He's expected. He's going to play. They're saying it's looking like he'll be ready for a training camp in week one. He's looking
but
good.
But is he going to be ready, though, right? We look at Iman Shumpert, who came back.
You may
again.
Be injured, but are you ready?
Again, Iman Shumpert and Derrick Rose got injured on the same day. And Iman Shumpert is back. Now, he's not playing Iman Shumpert pre-injury yet. Maybe now he's getting close. And some of it's psychological, some of it's rough, some of it's whatever. But Derrick Rose is not even on the field, or the basketball court, as it were. So you got to take this into consideration, especially since this is, quote-unquote, his cheap year, right? He's only due $6 million this year, and then he's going to want to be, you know, make – make top NFL.
How about this? If you're Idzik, you know what I do? I sit down and say, would you stay for this number? Can we re-sign you for what he was saying? He wanted 15. Would you re-stay for 11.5?
For how many? Like, extend him beyond this year?
Yeah. Would you stay? So, would you sign a 4-year deal for $50 million, and we'll give you $22 million signing bonus?
Guaranteed money, you mean? So would the Jets do that, and would Darrell Revis do that?
Because let me tell you, for the Jets, it's better to have him. When you look at what they've lost defensively already, you know, I mean, now these guys are older, but they lost the big guy up front, Pua. They lost Eric Smith. They lost Calvin Pace, Bart Scott. Can't wait. They lost a lot of guys.
But then
linebackers,
that's an argument for the Jets aren't going anywhere, and the division looks even harder. I mean, Buffalo's not really, you know, they have some talent, but, you know, who knows.
Right, but let me ask you this, right? Is the 13th
Miami
pick,
and the Patriots.
Is the 13th pick, and let's say they throw in, a third and a fourth next year or whatever they're talking about, who are you getting at 13th? You're not getting D. Milner.
No.
Trufant, that's a little too early
back.
For him.
You're taking a step back at a corner position. But the way you've got to think about it is you get two – out of Darrell Revis, you might get two starters and a viable reserve, a nickel, a lineman that can rotate in, a backup offensive lineman, something like that. If you can do that
– I agree, yeah.
For less
money. I'm just sort of wondering, let's say if I can have him to retire a Jet and he play another 4 to 6 years with me and I can get him at a lower money compared to me just shipping him off and then go watch him, you know, help Tampa make the playoffs this year and look, you know, look really good. Because there's no reason that he's still not going to be, if he's healthy, that he's not going to be Darrelle Revis.
Yeah, there's no
and I think, you know.
He couldn't
we'll
be.
See.
I don't think he'll be next year. So it's really the year after.
Yeah.
I don't know. The reason I say that the Jets need to move him is because I feel like that relationship already got personal and contentious. And even though Rex Ryan and he apparently get along, I just feel like there's a bad taste in his mouth and in the Jets' mouth. And that relationship will – you know, we talked about Marcus Allen and how Marcus Allen played in a bad situation at the Raiders.
Al
this
Davis
isn't quite
polluted,
the same
yeah.
with Al Davis because there's no Bo Jackson playing ahead of him. I mean, as long as he's healthy, he'll be on the field. But you just feel like both sides need a change and both sides need to move on. And it just – too much bad blood built up there. He's never been happy with his contract with the Jets. Now, some of it is his fault. Some of it's the Jets' fault. They're both at fault here. But I don't know. I just feel like both sides would be better off moving on.
Okay. Well, look, another breaking news. We talked about it. We'll get into it. I mean, look, Alex Lem's declared now. Nerlens Noel, after not even finishing his freshman year at Kentucky and the injury, you know, being injured and could or is projected to be the number one pick. Well, it depends on who's drafting, right? Otto Porter enters the draft. You know, look, these guys can get free agent, you know, maybe get an agent, and then maybe if they don't get an agent, they can, you know, pull out, you know, I think it's June 17th. This is, I don't know. I guess these guys, they're going to be successful, so you can't, you know, you don't feel for them. You worry about some of these other guys that might come out. I think, you know, Porter, we both love Porter. Alex Lem, I wish he would stay one more year, but, I mean, hey, I mean, you know, he'll be a top 10 pick. Is he ever going to, you know, can he improve on that? And the same thing, I guess, with Nerlens, you know?
You know, I would love to see Nerlens come back, rehab.
Definitely.
At the college level, get his game right, get his body right to play against grown men. You know, the only one I can think of, especially if he comes out number one, it reminds you a little bit of when Kenyon Martin broke his leg at Cincinnati and was the number one overall pick. So he missed the tournament, and they were a number one seed in that tournament, and then he went down, and the Nets still picked him number one because – frankly, bones heal better than ligaments. So,
if you figure a broken bone,
he's a big man. He'll still be athletic. He'll still be good. With Nerlens, with the ACL, they're saying he might go number one. But I would love to see him stay in college. But maybe this is a wake-up call. He said, look, I got injured once. If
you're
telling
me
in my ear I'm a top five pick.
Yeah. Let me go. Get that money. Right, because and look, we always say we can't tell someone not to go get a contract because, you know, if, you know, Apple said, hey, you know, out of high school, you were smart enough that I can give you an executive position and pay you, you know, $5 million a year, you're going to be like, oh, no, I've got to go to Brown or Harvard really wants me, or you're going to go be a high-ranking executive at 18 years old. You know, I mean, so it's the same thing. Like, I mean, the reality is you're trying to solidify your life and your career. So if you can do so a year earlier than or 2 years earlier than maybe someone might think you should do it, go do it.
Yeah.
Go and do it. So speaking of going and doing it tonight, the WNBA draft. Wow. You got Elena Delendon, our girl Skylar,
and then,
the Diggins. I love Skylar, man. I love her game for Notre Dame. You know, nice little point guard, but the number one pick coming out here, possibly to the Phoenix Mercury, who has the number one pick, Brittany 6'8" Griner. That's going to be kind of interesting.
Is
I'll
there any doubt
ticket.
In your mind that she'll be number one? Can you make an argument for anybody but her?
Elena. I mean, they've made some arguments. I've heard some arguments about when they had the draft lottery, and I remember watching it. that they were saying that Elena fits Phoenix Mercury in their style and their system better. But I gotta believe, you know, I'm not gonna go and pay to go see Elena. But if you tell me Brittany Griner is coming to the Phoenix Mercury, I'll go and spend my money and get a ticket and go watch this woman play. Like, she's that dominant and that fascinating and interesting of a story that I'll go watch her play. Why not?
And you know what? I think that at the end of the day, in men's basketball and in women's basketball, you know, you kind of look back on this, and we mentioned it a little bit off air. We talked about, does this remind you a little bit of the draft where you had Greg Oden and Kevin Durant coming out? And even to this day, I cannot blame Portland for going for Greg Oden. You don't want the big man to go down, but the big men changed the game. And Deladon is a phenomenal player. She transferred from Connecticut, and she was on pace to be, you know, a star. Even coming out of high school, everybody knew who this girl was and how she can ball. But there have been other ballers at her position, right? There have been, you know, there have been Sue Birds and Shamiqua Holdsclaw, and there have been Cheryl Swoopses, and there have been, you know, Lisa Leslie was more of a big man, you know, at in the women's game. But there have been other, you know, talented on-the-ball scorers and facilitators. But there hasn't been a Brittany Griner. And even though the Phoenix Mercury may say that their system today suits you know, Deladon,
change your system.
Change your system. If you
get this woman's so dominant. I mean, you've seen her on the court. She's unstoppable, man. You got to draft her.
Yeah.
You just got to draft her. But, you know, hey, I wish them well, and it's going to be exciting. I think it's good for the women's game. I think it's good, you know. I think it's good for her. You know, obviously that loss to Louisville was upsetting, but, you know, her whole world's about to change, and in a couple of months she'll be playing. You know, they start in June, so she'll be balling and get it going, you know. But you talk about get it going. Let's get into it, man. Let's talk about the Masters. I think for all of us, for
golf
fans.
Got your green jacket on? You have your green jacket on right now?
I threw on a green shirt. I wish I played golf, right? You know, I mean, I've never got into it. I was telling my wife I love miniature golf and have fun and success at it. I never got really into golf, and you know, but I'm a fan. I've always been, you know, a fan of Tiger, and you know, loved other guys over the years, Nick Faldo, but yesterday was the day for the Aussies to stand up. And how about, you know, who's got to be happy? Greg Norman. And, you know, he sent out some tweets and congrats to Adam Scott. But like you said in the intro, that battle between Angel Cabrera and Adam Scott and the shots, it's like there were no losers. I mean, they both played golf at its finest. Oh, my gosh. His shot on 18 to after Adam did what he did, and Angel shot on 18 to get there, it was incredible. I feel for Jason Day, though. You know, you got to, right?
And Brant Snedeker.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah. Collapsed.
Yeah,
you know. Oh,
he had a rough, yeah.
But, and that's the ultimate in competition. And it's funny because we are both city kids, and we both grew up playing sports, watching sports, and mainly team sports. And that's the difference between team sports and individual sports. We still have an appreciation for what it takes to go out. You're out there by yourself, you and your caddy, right? You can't blame anybody. At the same token, you deserve all the credit when you win, right? In a team sport, you could say, okay, you know, I could hide behind people. Somebody else could take the shot, or I could pass the ball to somebody and they can miss or make the shot, and it's more of a team effort. And for better or for worse, right? But here you are, the solo whiz. You're the only guy out there. The spotlight's on you. and you're on the back nine, you know, you could be
you're,
Amen
you're
Corner.
The DJ and the rapper.
Yeah, and it's all you. So you've got nobody but yourself out there. It's like you're naked out there, you know? You're just doing your thing.
And you
so,
can see the mental collapse for Brand. You know,
yeah.
You really saw that mental collapse. I mean, when he missed the shot at 10, the putt at 10, he just deteriorated and, you know, oh, God.
But Angel Cabrera and the eventual champion, Adam Scott, going through what? He went to 18, they tied 18, and they went to 10, you know, in the second playoff hole. But the thing is, they both played so well. They both were able to, you know, push each other. And what was great was the camaraderie. You know, it's funny because competitors act differently. Sometimes they won't talk to you. Sometimes they'll talk and try to intimidate you. Sometimes they won't look at you. Sometimes they'll, you know, sneak up to you and try to be friendly when, in fact, they're shooting daggers at you with their eyes.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
But
yeah.
It looked like these two genuinely respected each other. And they were like, wow, good shot, man. You're pushing me. And here, I'm going to make a good shot, too, and I'm going to push you. So
yeah.
I don't know if they're friends off the court because, you know, they're from two
well,
totally
they
different
speak, yeah.
countries.
Angel doesn't even speak English, really. So
right. But yeah. These two were definitely – that was great. Like, this is what kids should see, right? This was friendly but intense
competition. Yeah.
You don't have to be, you know – basically about to throw blows and fight with somebody to be intensely competitive, right? You can still respect
yeah.
your opponent and challenge your opponent and be, you know, and be fired up at the same time. So, look, it depends on the competition and composition of the two men in this case. But, yeah, it was great to see them walking, you know, up and down the course and just pushing each other. And like you said, each one delivered. And so it's almost like it sounds a little cliche, but nobody really lost this one. You know, they both.
Well, financially, though, let me tell you this.
Yeah, well, that's
Scott,
good.
Scott, $1,440,000. And Angel, not a bad day, right? But one shot, look at the difference, $864,000. I mean, I'm sort of amazed at how much. I know, right? But how much they make? I mean, third place Jason Day gets. I mean, you know this. These guys make so much money. 44,000. I mean, four.
Right, and T. Gray and Leishman.
352,000 for fourth place. Tiger Woods, 352,000.
But think about it. There's only a couple of strokes. You know, he had that two-stroke penalty. But the difference between first and fourth is what, $1,400,000 to $300,000? That's a huge drop. But it's still nice to see that the winner makes $1,400,000, and a lot of that is Tiger and the popularity that golf has
right.
ridden.
And even Brian, right, his collapse. From instead of getting 1.4, he winds up with $278,000. Not bad, though.
Not bad for a weekend or for a week.
Not bad for seventh place, but, I mean, you know. I got to say, golfers do pretty good, right?
Well, the elite
golfers. Sergio for eighth place, right? $232,000. Gosh. That's ridiculous.
But you know
right?
what? You're not guaranteed of anything. You actually have to play well Thursday and Friday, make the cut, and then finish in the top 10 of a major to make $200,000, right?
Where did your boy finish at? The young kid, man. The eighth grader.
Oh, Kate Spade in the eighth grade. I think he finished, oh, God, he was at plus, oh, I forgot. I can look it up. But he
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I know he dropped. But,
you know what?
Hey, I just want to send him love, though, and congrats, because that, to make the cut was so impressive, and to play with these men at 14. This is 14, ladies and gentlemen, an eighth grader. That's amazing. To play in the
right.
Masters.
So he shot, you know what? Look at his, I'm pulled up his scorecard. Par is a 72 at the Masters, right? So he shot a 73, a 75, a 77, and a 75.
Wow.
So he was 1-3-5 was his quote-unquote collapse on Saturday. And
right.
then he came back and pulled it together and on Sunday shot another 75, which is
incredible.
Only three over. I mean, that's incredible for a 14-year-old to have the physical skills to do that and to have the mental skills to do that.
Yeah. Now you gotta be impressed with that, you know.
Tian Lang Guan, watch out for him. He's 14 in a
Guan.
Sport where
for, the, for my Jamaican
couple.
Fans out there, Guan.
In
blup,
a sport
blup, blup.
Where that's funny. In a sport where Freddie Couples went into Sunday at 53 with a chance to do big things. Now, he didn't have a great round, but he's 53. So this kid Guan is 14. So if he stays healthy, he could be doing this for 40 years. We could be looking at this cat for another 40 years.
Yo, maybe we should have gotten to golf.
I know.
Oh, man. Well, listen, we got to send our love to him, man. And then you know what? We got to send our love to Yale. We got to give them their props. Yale men's college hockey won the hockey championship.
Right, they beat Quinnipiac.
Yeah. That's, and it's like two Connecticut schools. The towns are right next to each other. You know, that right there is...
That's great because, traditionally that's going to be, Cornell and Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, like all these teams in the Snow Belt and higher up
regions.
In New England.
Yeah.
And so good for them. Good for them that they were competing for the championship and we've got a new champion with somebody that's never won it before.
And then my man, Kyle Busch. You know, I'm all about the NASCAR, man. But listen,
he had a great weekend.
Kyle Busch.
He took a sweep down there in Texas, and then he won at the Texas Speedway. He was, he was down, and he took the lead with 16 laps to go. So he really stepped it up after the caution.
I think it's incredible, but you know what else? I'm blown away by, I think, with auto racing, the endurance that it takes, but then how close these guys are apart, right? I mean, in terms of someone coming in second or third or whatever, I mean, they're just like 0.05 seconds apart, for second place or third place.
Well, and remember, that's point, that's a quarter of a second, a tenth of a second, a hundredth of a second after 500 miles. You know what I mean? That's not racing, 40 yards, which is probably about all we can run these days. That's after 500 miles. They're less than a second apart. That's crazy.
That's mind-boggling. And my man Carl Edwards came in third, so shout out to Carl Edwards. He's been, he's trying to do his thing, exactly. He's trying to do his thing. But you know what? Let's get into it. Let's talk about the NBA. I gotta give up much love to Knicks. Our Knicks clinched the number 2 seed, and my man Mamelo, his lowest scoring game in forever, 25 points. I mean, that's how good. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? Melo's been playing so good, and the way that they handled the Pacers pretty easily, which I feel like is a good sign for the Knicks for the playoffs, but. Melo, J.R. Smith, Copeland had 20. And the Knicks just, they're looking really good at 53-27. They can relax and rest. They play Charlotte tonight. And then Wednesday back home in Atlanta, back home against Atlanta. The Knicks are solid with the number 2 seed, man. What are you thinking about the Knicks as they head in? The Eastern Conference is set, right, for the playoffs. So we kind of know the Knicks play Boston.
Celtics,
the Heat play Milwaukee. Now, Atlanta and Chicago have switched. So Atlanta's at 5, and Chicago is at 6. So they're only one game apart, so that could change. And Brooklyn has got the 4 seed. So Brooklyn right now would be playing Atlanta, which I think is a break
better
for them.
Matchup.
I think Brooklyn could beat Atlanta.
Sure.
They will lose to Chicago. And that 3-6, can you imagine the Pacers and the Bulls in the first round?
Which is too bad because those are two teams that potentially – could give trouble to the Knicks, to the Heat, just because the defense for Chicago and the size for Indianapolis, for the Pacers, and they both play decent half-court games, and their teams are constituted to play well in the playoffs. you know, half court defense, size, rebounding. So it would be too bad for one of those two teams because they're both teams that could win first and potentially make some noise in the second round as well. So we'll see. Like you said, Brooklyn definitely wants Miami. I mean, wants Atlanta. But the Eastern Conference, what do you think about Knicks and Boston? I mean, do you think that
a war?
The old guys, well, they're old guys on both teams, but
the
old guys,
guys
on the Celtics can deliver a strong challenge to the Knicks?
Listen, I think the Knicks will win it in probably five or six, but I think Boston, if Boston has any chance of upsetting the Knicks, it's got to be they got to take game one at MSG, and I don't know if they can do that, but that's the one game that I think that they could – you know, try to shock and surprise the Knicks. I mean, look, the Celtics are, you know, almost basically playing 500 ball, 41-39 for the season. They won't beat the Knicks, but the Knicks, I think the Knicks have their number this year. But this is the concern. If I'm a Knicks fan, I'm actually rooting like heck for the Chicago Bulls to win. And Wednesday night, I'm not resting everybody. I rest everybody tonight at Charlotte. Wednesday, I want to beat Atlanta. It's in their own hands. They could beat Atlanta, and hopefully the Bulls can win. Because if the Bulls and Pacers play, whoever survives that, the Knicks will have to play in the second round, right? The Knicks are like 0-4 against Chicago this year. They do not want to see the Bulls, Ray. I'm going to tell you that right now. And, you know, all true Knicks fans will tell you, we want no part of the Chicago Bulls. Their size and that team, even without D. Rose, for some reason, the Bulls have the Knicks number. So,
for sure.
Kudos to the Knicks, though. You'll see with now everybody's coming back. What do you think is going to happen, like, with the rotation? I mean, do you totally not play Novak and Copeland? Because you're looking like Chandler, Martin, and Camby are coming back. We're still waiting to hear about Amari and Wallace. A lot of guys.
Yeah, and this is something that Mike Woodson has had to deal with all year, and unfortunately
different
for him,
credit.
With the injuries, that he hasn't known who's going to be there because the injuries have crept up on him, and he's waited on Iman Shumpert in the beginning of the year, and now he's waiting on his big men, and they released Kurt Thomas, and now Copeland's getting a little time in the rotation. So something he's been doing all year, and with age. The only good thing is that games are every other day. So the older guys get to rest. There are no back-to-backs in the playoffs. But, yeah, one of the things that the Knicks are going to have to do, and especially as streaky as the Knicks are, is they're going to have to use their rotation and try to get the right guys on the court at the right times. And if you're hitting threes and all is well, then you can stick with the offensive players like Novak and Copeland and to some degree J.R. Smith and so forth. But if you're not, you're going to have a short leash and, put them on the bench and maybe concentrate on defense and put your defensive squad out there because, fewer possessions, you're going to have to be more efficient on offense and you're going to have to play D because these half-court games aren't going to be, 125, 120 when they went into OKC and beat the Thunder. The games are going to be in the 80s. So we'll see what Mike does. Look, he's a defensive coach, so that's a good thing. And the players respect him and follow his leadership. So it's a nice dilemma to have, right? The number two seed with a deep rotation, and you just have to figure out which, seven or eight guys you're going to rely on in the playoffs.
Right, and I think the Knicks probably will go deeper than most teams because I think that they – with some of the age, some of their guys need help and, some rest. And I think also their depth could be an advantage for them. One thing I like is that whether it's, Camby, who hasn't played that much, but he can, block shots and do some things athletically in the playoffs. If Chandler gets in foul trouble, well, look, if you've got a rotation of whether you can do Camby or Martin and Wallace. I mean, you've got sort of solid backup four or fives, at each position. My question is, do they stick with Melo starting at the four, which I think has been their bread and butter? I don't tend to like it, but it works for them. Or, with a bigger, depending on the team you play, do you go big or do you say, we'll go small because that's that's our advantage. You know, I think these guys coming back helps them when they play against the Pacers or the Bulls because of the fact that those teams are bigger. So then you can actually, you know, say, hey, well, we'll match you because we've got Wallace and we've got Kenyon Martin and we've got Chandler and we've got Canby. You know, I think you're worried about it when you don't have those guys, you know. So, but to me, Copeland, he'll play before Novak, right? Because Copeland, he doesn't just shoot threes, and he can score different ways. And I know, like how you always say with the three-point shots, if these guys aren't hitting their threes, they're in trouble. But one thing I like about Copeland, and you know I've been banging the tables for him all year, even with Ian Begley from ESPN New York when he was on our show, I was like, yo, Copeland has got to play because this guy has proven that he can score and he gets people in foul trouble because he scores different ways playing the 3/4. And his defense has gotten a little bit better. And even, you know, Woody said, you know, and Coach Jim Todd, the assistant coach, you know, he's got to work on the defensive end, but he's starting to move a little better, you know?
Yeah. The one thing that you can say, though, about Novak is that he's a specialist. And when you only play in the playoffs 5 minutes a game, it's nice to have a specialty. You know what I mean? Being an all-around player is nice, but coming in and saying, okay, I need – you know, we're down five. I need to stretch the court, and I need to create isolation for Carmelo. And if he is double-teamed, then I need to kick it out to a knockdown shooter. That's Steve Novak. So
Definitely.
We'll see. But it's a good problem to have, right? It's a good problem for Mike Woodson to have.
Yeah, so before we get to the Western Conference and talk about Kobe and that injury, when you look at the East – and obviously, you know, we didn't mention it, but Doug Collins is calling it quits after this season. So, you know, 33-47, you feel bad for Philly and that whole situation. But do you think it's basically only the Knicks that could possibly even touch the Heat? I don't think anybody else can do it.
Well, maybe we've said it all along. Maybe the only team I can say that can do it is possibly Indiana.
But without Granger, it's different now.
Yeah, it is, and the problem is Indiana would go through the Knicks, so the winner, you know, they won't have to face both of them. But you know, you like Indiana's size, you like Hibbert, and you like their toughness and the fact that they've beaten the Bulls. I mean, beaten the Heat. And so have the Knicks, but they've beaten the Heat, and they gave them all they could handle last year too. They were down, you know, in Game 6, and they needed that 41 from Dwayne Wade to win that game. So
definitely,
now, granted, that was with, you know, that was with a
Granger.
Slightly different team,
yeah,
with Granger. But you know what? That Paul George wasn't Paul George. You know,
no.
This was his coming out party this year.
And Lance Stephenson has improved, but the only problem is, though, Ray, they can't score the Pacers. I mean, they really cannot put it in the basket, and they don't. You know, they don't even use Hibbert enough. They didn't take advantage of Melo starting yesterday at the four. David West and Hibbert and that size, they didn't even take advantage of it.
Right.
So I have no faith. If I'm a Pacers fan, I'm like, ugh, I have no faith. And the Pacers probably don't want to see the Bulls either in the first round. Everybody
wants
to play
the
Hawks. Right? Everybody.
Nobody.
Like,
you know, Tom Thibodeau has a formula that just causes people problems. And they're long and they have talent and they can score when they need to. And, of course, they got that size up front with Noah and our boy from Harlem. Yeah, doing the Harlem shake.
Doing the Harlem shake. So let's talk about the Lakers, man. Kudos to them. You know, they're sort of in the driver's seat. One game left. They're in the eighth spot. You know, I mean, obviously, the injury the other night, I don't even want to hear people try to blame it on the coach. Kobe coaches himself, and he's going to play all these minutes. And even you mentioned it the other day, you know, you run a risk of injury, and you know, you're going to be exhausted. But guess what? It's all their faults, right? Because they got in this situation. Everybody's been injured all season. Kobe's played through injuries. The other guys have not played through all their injuries. And this injury could have happened any time to anybody with the Achilles. And we just pray for Kobe. He had a surgery, and looks like he's, you know, he's determined to try to come back at 35. And, you know, he turns 35 in September. We'll see what happens. But the Lakers have still got a fight. And I think Dwight Howard is you know, I mean, going to prove that he'll at least get them to the playoffs, you know.
Well, this is exactly what the L.A. fans and organizations need to have or need to see. And this is not Kobe going down, of course, but
right.
Dwight Howard stepping up. And they need to see what they have in the guy who, like we said, by the way, led the league in rebounds. You know, top five in block shots, top five in field goal percentage with one shoulder.
And still a bad back.
Killed, and a bad back and a surgically repaired back. So we need to see Dwight Howard, and you also need to see how Howard and Gasol play together.
It's been great lately. Gasol's looking awesome lately.
Right, and remember, we were talking about him not long ago as being a top five big man in the league. So
definitely.
In some ways, this is a season that the Lakers weren't going to win at all anyway. But what they do get to see is how Dwight Howard can play as the star of the team and potentially the guy that when Kobe retires in a year, two, three, what Dwight Howard is going to look like as the face of the franchise. So in some ways, it's exactly what L.A. fans and L.A. management need to determine if they want Dwight Howard. And I think they'll offer him the extension, and it's more money to stay in L.A., so it's really L.A.'s to lose whether or not they retain the services of one Dwight Howard.
No, you're right. You know what's interesting, though, in the West, and I just noticed this, how about the team that I told you that oh, my God, I'm loving them. The Houston Rockets, baby, are now the number six seed. They're tied at 45-35 with the Golden State Warriors, who have been collapsing in the last quarter of the NBA season. And the Houston Rockets right now would play the Denver Nuggets in the first round. Forget about them upsetting the Spurs. They'd play the Denver Nuggets. Would that be an exciting, exciting first-round matchup, the Rockets and the Nuggets? The Rockets actually might have a shot.
They might. I mean, the Nuggets, look, the Nuggets are a regular season team. And in the playoffs, I'm not sure that formula works, you know, no star and getting up and down the court. So
you lose your best shooter. Gallinari's your best shooter.
Yeah, he's your best shooter, and he's probably your best, you know, matchup at the end of games just because he's a great free throw shooter. He gets to the line. He's 6'10", and he's a guy that you don't look at him as a Carmelo, but he's a guy that can get his own, you know, get his own shot, and is probably your go-to guy down stretch of the game, right? You don't want Ty Lawson or Andre Iguodala shooting your shot. It's probably Danilo Gallinari with Ty Lawson facilitating, or Andre Miller on the court too. So interesting playoffs in the Western Conference. Can't wait to see that.
Yeah, and then I think, you know, the big game over the weekend, the Clippers, you know, they solidified home court against Memphis. They beat Memphis, so, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But that should be kind of interesting. And the Clippers are trending forward, man, 54-26, and, you know, good for them. You know, the number four seed, and they'll have home court against Memphis in that matchup. That's going to be fun. That's going to be a lot of fun. So let's get into it, man. We're bringing back our segment that we normally do on Mondays, Champs and Chumps of the Sports Weekend. And, Ray, I'm going to let you go first. Are you coming positive or are you coming negative?
You know what? We've had enough negative today, although we will have a negative part of the segment. But let me start out on a positive note. Let me give you a go. So my kudos are to the Atlanta Braves, who – have the best record in baseball at 11-1, and over the weekend went into the Washington Nationals, who I predicted would win 100 games, and they beat them. They swept them. They took three out of three.
Like they stole something. They beat them.
And the thing is, they didn't get, you know, the middle of the rotation guys. I mean, they beat Stamen, who's the back end of the rotation, on Friday. 6-4. They went into extra innings. They scored two in the ninth, and then Ramiro Pena hit his second career home run, his tenth, in the tenth inning, and they win 6-4. So that was against Stamen. But then they beat Strasburg 3-1 on Saturday, and they crushed Gio Gonzalez and beat beat the Nats 9-0 yesterday. So Mahalan pitches a shutout, and then Gio Gonzalez gets rocked. So Justin Upton hits his seventh homer. So Atlanta Braves, kudos to you, winning three in a row in the division. And don't think that the Nats are that bad, right? The Nats were 7-2, 6-0 at home going into this series. And then they lose three in a row, 7-5. Now, baseball's a long season, but you know what? These are your rivals. You're going to play them, you know, 18 times this year, so you might as well go out and start off on the right foot. And the Atlanta Braves certainly did. They said, look, don't forget about us in the NL East. So my champs of the weekend are the Atlanta Braves.
Well, my champs, going positive, are the Lakers and Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard, ladies and gentlemen, and, you know, they won the game when Kobe got hurt. They needed to win that. But more importantly, they won on Sunday, and they beat the Spurs. The Spurs are still, you know, one game in the number two seed battling with OKC. But my man Dwight Howard with Kobe out, and I love this stat, zero assists, because you know what? It's not time for him to pass anymore. It's time for him to score. 26 points, 17 rebounds. 11 defensive rebounds and 6 offensive, Ray. He's holding down the glass. You know, I love to see Dwight get dominant like that. We just spoke about it. 2 steals, 3 blocks. And in the last couple of games, you know, he had 28 the game before that and 20 before that. So his last 3 games, he's like, I'm here, Lakers. I am here. So Dwight Howard is my champ. I consider him to be, you know, MVP player in this league, and he's going to lead him to the playoffs. Yeah, he'll lead him to the playoffs. So Dwight Howard is my champ with the Lakers.
Okay, that's a nice champ to have on your side. Although I got a team with bats, so I'm ready.
with the Upton brothers bats.
Exactly. So we have now to talk about the negative, the chumps. And, you know, I thought about one team who was falling out of the playoff race. But you know what? I decided they actually did okay. They won their game. They lost earlier in the week. So I changed my mind. I'm going with a team that fell under the radar screen. But you know what? You can't fall under Ray and Tay's radar screen. So we see everything. And this team is disappointing me because they're young and they're talented and they should do better than what they're doing. And quiet as kept, while everybody was talking about, you know, the Heat streak and then the Knicks streak of winning games, nobody was talking about the Portland Trailblazers, losers of 11 in a row. So they lost this weekend on Friday, Denver, and then Oklahoma City. But so those are teams that maybe they shouldn't beat. But you know what? After you've lost 9 in a row, you got to start beating people. And it doesn't matter who it is. And you got to have some pride. And this team is too talented to lose 11 in a row. You know, they've got LaMarcus Aldridge. They've got your rookie of the year. Tay picked it from day one or day, you know, negative 5 before the season. Yeah. He said Dame Lillard is his guy for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
I went with the same bet.
Go to RayandTayToday.com, and you can check out the show, the episode 1029.
Yeah, the basketball preview, 1029, Hurricane Sandy. So this team is too talented. Aldridge, Lillard, Matthews, Batum, J.J. Hickson. You know, they have some players. I'm not saying that they should be contending with Oklahoma City or the Heat, but they shouldn't be losing 11 in a row, and it shouldn't go under the radar screen, right? This is not the Orlando Magic. This is not a terrible team. This is, in fact, a very decent team that up until about a month ago was in the hunt potentially for that, you know, 7th, 8th playoff spot. So disappointing, my chumps, the Portland Trailblazers.
All right, well, we got a minute left. I got to say my chumps is somebody that I went at a long time ago, and then I apologized to him. Well, you know what? Even though in their last 10, they're 7-3, they had a bad loss. And I can see where they are in a position where they're going to lose probably in the first round, and the trade of Rudy Gay will be a bad and horrible trade. I'm talking about the Memphis Grizzlies. They are at home and lost to the Clippers, and lost the home court advantage in the playoffs, which they lost last year to the Clippers in the first round. So the Memphis Grizzlies, for losing 91-87 when they were in the game and had the game and let DeAndre Jordan have get 16 and 12 on them and Chris Paul take it over, the Memphis Grizzlies are my chumps of the sports weekend. And that's it. There's not much else to say. We'll see what happens in the first round. Ray and Tate today, Wednesday, David Shaw. NFL
yeah,
draft.
The head
Check
coach
us out.
Of the Stanford yeah. Cardinal and a guest on the NFL Network as they do their draft prep for
yeah,
the draft coming up
football.
Next week.
That's going to be awesome, man.
Yeah, tune in on Wednesday. It's going to be a later show. It's going to be 8 o'clock Eastern. So we're going to get David Shaw calling in from the West Coast. So join us then. We had a blast spending time with you. And, again, on this day, you know, find your family, hug them, you know,
yeah.
tell the people that you love them. And life is short. So you know, enjoy every day that you're here on this earth with your friends and family.
Definitely, man. We're definitely we want to be your friends as well. So thank you for listening and talking sports with friends. God bless all of you, Ray and Tay, today and all the victims and the tragedy of Boston Marathon. We're out. See you Wednesday.